It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here each and every day from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Now, what we're going to do today, we got a special bonus for y'all. There are many people that you know, they throw their hat in and say, you know, I got something to say. I'm going to run for POTUS, President of the United States of America, and we're going to have something to say. What might they say? Well, we're going to find out. Now, we have three today. Now, we've, you know, with the use of technology, we have brought all three in on a conference call in the studio, and we're going to go ahead and do it this way. I'm going to be letting them introduce themselves. I'll give you their name, where you can get more information on the internet, and have them give a short 1-minute introduction of who they are. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be taking some news of the day straight from Freedom's Phoenix headlines and just say, all right, and your opinion is. Now, after an hour of this, we're going to hopefully have a very good idea of who these candidates are, why they're not getting the attention, or asking why they're not. So this is, you know, an opportunity for them to use alternative media here, and the readers of Freedom's Phoenix and the tens of thousands of people that read and the thousands of media that have an opportunity, you know, to, well, they rip us off all the time. But what we're going to go ahead and do is go ahead and we'll start with Jim Byrne for FORPresident.com. Jim Byrne for President.com. Now, James Ogle is at USParliament.org. Tina Cook for President 2012 can be found on Facebook. Tina Cook for President 2012 on Facebook. Now, let's go ahead and go to JimByrneForPresident.com. Jim, all right, 1 minute. Go, man. Tell us all about yourself.
Mr. Hancock, I want to say thank you. To the people who are listening, I want to say thank you. Thank you because you are special. Special because you are chosen. Chosen because you made a choice. Your choice is to be interested and open to ideas outside the mainstream. I am a libertarian. Libertarians believe that people should be allowed to live as they choose, so long as they do not initiate force, threaten to initiate force, or engage in fraud against their fellow human beings. When libertarianism is adopted, we will enter an age of peace, prosperity, and progress. You are special people because you are open to ideas, and therefore you are among the only people who can bring us all peace, prosperity, and progress. Our task is not easy. Nothing of value ever is. I would like to say that my name is Jim Burns, B-U-R-N-S. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. I apologize. I noticed I was going to correct myself. Jim Burns with an S, FORPresident.com. Now, let's go ahead and we'll do the same thing to each candidate. Now, the order that I have here is in alphabetical order. We next go to Tina Cook. Tina Cook, C-O-O-K, F-O-R, for President 2012 on Facebook. Tina, please introduce yourself.
Hello, thanks for having me. Well, I'm an average working class woman. I live in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm running for president because I'm not sold out. There's too many people. All of our politicians are owned by bankers, corporations, and big money. They're not doing the work of we the people. And it's time for a change. And I appreciate you having me on your show because the mass media conglomerate has it all locked down, and people are only going to see and read and hear what those rich people want us to read, see, and hear. And it's time for some real people to take office, some average working Americans.
Thank you, Tina. Let's go ahead and go to James Ogle. Now, it's spelled O-G-L-E. Am I pronouncing it correctly, James?
Yes.
USParliament.org. Go ahead and introduce yourself, James.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Ernest, for having us on the show today. I'm an artist, a self-employed business person. I created art most of my life, and steel and bronze and paintings. And I'm also a sort of amateur passive solar architectural designer. And now in my later years, I'm 53, I'm doing a little bit of investing, trying to be, take on a new career. In 1994, I ran for governor of California with the Green Party after switching from the Environmentalist Party to promote proportional representation, which is a voting system where all parties and independents are represented in proportion to the number of votes they receive. And shortly after that, in 1995, I started this website, usparliament.org, where we use ranked voting online, where voters rank number one, number two, number three, et cetera, and later developed a set of rules to include paper ballots as well, simultaneously. And then in 1997, a student at Stanford located this virtual parliament online and asked, what is a Joogle? That was my email address I was posting on. And someone answered, I don't know what a Joogle is, but a Google is a number.
Ding.
And a week
time.
Later, he came back. The,
James, Google. James, your one-minute introduction is done. This is how you guys agreed to do the formatting. Now, of course, with your minutes, you can say whatever you want. Let's go ahead and get into some of the issues, and we'll go to Jim Burns here first. At the top of the heap right now is the economy. This is a contagion spreading across the planet that, for a lot of people, it was very expected. We knew that you cannot continue to spend, war, and not have it come home. But what's happened now is that people have finally started taking to the streets. What would you say to the people in the streets? As a presidential candidate, you go to some Occupy, whatever local city, you have the attention of the young people there, and you would say what?
Well, if we go back in history, Mr. Hancock, I think you'd find that there were, in the 1700s, there were two major revolutions. One was the American Revolution. The other was the French Revolution. Both revolutions were just. Both revolutions were fighting oppression. The difference was the American Revolution gave us individual rights, and the French Revolution gave us collectivism. And the results of the first were peace, prosperity, and progress. Well, not so much peace, but there was some progress and some individual rights in force, but the others led to communism. So the problem I have with the Occupy movement is that I'm not sure where they're going. If they're fighting oppression, I'm with them. But if they're bringing us statism, I'm opposed to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. You know, my question still remains, and I'll give you an additional 30 seconds to follow up with this, as I will with the other candidates. But I need to know what you would say to them. You know, here's your opportunity. You know, we have been to Occupy Phoenix. We just came from Libertopia in San Diego, where a lot of people have firsthand experience going to different things in their community and talking to these people. And I'm wondering how you would take advantage of an opportunity to speak to people that have got off their butt and gone to the street. Here we have a libertarian presidential candidate with an audience that of people primarily from the left. There's a lot of, I would say from when I was there, it was about a third were from the traditional, what you would say, the media, Occupy Wall Street people. Then there were, you know, Tea Party and Ron Paul people and anarchists and, you know, just people looking to find out what the heck was going on. So while they may not be the majority, they're certainly the most paid attention to, and they're vocal. And an opportunity for someone running for president to address these people and give them information they didn't already have, to ask them even questions, to whatever. But I need to know how you would take advantage of an opportunity like that, because, you know, this is the kind of opportunity a presidential candidate, you know, looks for, or even oftentimes tries to create in order to make an example, to share information. So let's go ahead and give you an additional 30 seconds to kind of, you know, what information would you share with these people?
I would tell them that I favor a position of no more bailouts, no more loans, no more subsidies, grants, loan guarantees, stock purchases, or any other special privileges granted by politicians and bureaucrats, nor theft and larceny of the taxpayers' money. Stopping these activities should be a paramount concern for a presidential candidate. Voluntary exchange is the fountainhead of economic and other activity. Interference by politicians and bureaucrats in voluntary exchange strikes at the core of our ability to live in peace with each other and destroys jobs and other economic pursuits. Therefore, I favor the reduction of the harmful interference of politicians and bureaucrats, and I advocate peace, prosperity, and progress that freedom brings. Thank you.
That's kind of what I'm looking for, because you have this opportunity. So let's go ahead and go to Tina. Tina, I mean, obviously you spend some time on Facebook. You probably have been getting a lot of, I would think emails and a lot of postings and a lot of information about what's happening on the street right now. Given the opportunity, what would you like to say? And I'll give you up to 2 minutes.
Well, they definitely have an Occupy Asheville movement going on here in Asheville, North Carolina. And I find it very interesting, you know, the other morning a group of contractors drove through their encampment area and blew the horn, waking everyone up. For some reason, these people seem to think that the occupiers are lazy bums. They don't do anything. I would like to get the point across to everyone in the nation that even if you consider yourself 53%, you're part of that 99%. Everyone is screwed right now. It's time for people to stand up. And I'm not trying to advocate violence, but we all know that before this is over, this thing's going to turn bad. People need to probably go to Washington, D.C., go to the halls of Congress. We need to get proactive with this and just quit standing around in the middle of the street. I'm not saying let's get our pitchforks and torches, but Fox News, they're having a counter-protest. They're riling up people who think that just because they have a job, they're better than everybody else. You have a job working in a factory somewhere, but, you know, these guys on Occupy Wall Street, they're just a bunch of lazy bums. So they're already trying to use the divide-and-conquer technique of dividing out the 99%. There's those who have jobs and those don't. People need to come together and unify on this. And if you know people that watch Fox News all day, then you might need to go over to their house and unplug their TV, turn on the news media on the Internet, have them watch some other kind of news media. People need to wake each other up because the whole planet's going to hell. And that's what I tell people.
Thanks, Tina.
Everyone you know, and turn them on.
Thanks, Tina. Let's go ahead and go to James Ogle. This is, I just had on Freedom's Phoenix today, we put up what's happening to the protesters in Oakland. I mean, they're starting to be, you know, there's beatings, there's accusations of overzealous policemen taking advantage of young people that are defenseless. And I'm just wondering, you know, as you have this news going around the planet and this attention, you know, how would you address these people? What would you say?
Well, I support their rights to protest, definitely, 100%. You know, all American citizens. But to really be able to make decisions as a team of American people, you have to use the voting system, because basically, what's the alternative is dictatorship. To me, the problem is the voting system, because we use plurality voting with single-winner districts, it tends to leave out a lot of the diversity of the American people, the multiple parties, the independents, and we're not really working together as a country, as one team, where no one person is more important than the team. And the only way to, the best way to develop that team is through the most mathematically exact voting system, ranked choice voting in multi-winner districts. As quickly as the protesters could nominate and rank names, they could elect a team, all parties working together, Libertarian, Green, Democratic, Republican, Independent, make your own party or whatever. And then once that body of assembly or representatives is elected, they could also use the same system for nominating and electing multiple alternatives. The more the better. So as quickly as all of the people could nominate or promote a specific idea for a ballot on making decisions, but as quickly as voters could rank those decisions, then as a team, the people could find solutions that the majority, 50% plus one, of the voters would support, and all of those solutions would be ranked in consecutive order from the most important at the top on down.
Okay, James, so you're talking about a system, and let's go ahead and talk about the system a little bit. Jim Burns, let's go ahead and discuss how you're running for president. Now, each of you running for president of the United States, we need to understand the difference between each of your approaches. What mechanism have you chose to be an option to the American people?
I'm trying to use a method that poor people have to use, because that's what I am. I've been going to libertarian functions, and I've developed an email list. And I email personal letters to everybody on my list, and I try to tell them where I stand and show them how we can improve with not only with our ideas, but with tactics, and how do we can improve the results of the libertarian movement. If you'll go to my website, jimburnsforpresident.com, you'll see that I have both short articles and longer articles, so that and they're both invest in on approaching the issues and also on tactics that we can use. And I go into depth on those. But my approach is basically to do the best I can with the limited resources that I have. And that's what I think that the Libertarian Party needs to do. We need to find a method so that we can affect the outcomes of the elections. And I think I've developed such a method, and I implore you to go to my website, jimburnsforpresident.com, and take a look at such articles as the 93% solution, and I go into depth on how we could change the course of the Libertarian Party. Thank you.
Thanks. Tina, you're using Facebook. This is a common thread. Anyone that has anything to do with anything has a Facebook page nowadays. And I'm wondering, is there additional methods that you would use? Are you running as an independent? Are you seeking a party's nomination? What is the process by which you're going to be an option for the American voter?
Well, right now I'm calling myself an independent because, I certainly can't say I'm a Democrat or a Republican. I have been in the past, and I've worked for the Democratic headquarters years ago, but over the years I've noticed that the same people bankroll both parties. The same people are bankrolling John McCain as Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, as far back as time goes, at least for the last 50 years, the same corporate elite has been bankrolling both parties. And, it doesn't matter who wins. Do you want the white puppet, the black puppet, the male puppet, the female puppet? Because in the end, the same people are running this country, if not the world, that were running it 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Dwight Eisenhower said it best when, in his farewell address, when he said, beware of the military-industrial complex, because there's a bunch of rich, fat cats that are running the whole show. And everyone in America sits here. We all think, we're going to go vote. My vote counts. No, your vote does not count if you're voting for the same people that are bankrolled by the same folks that bankrolled the last group of people. So for now, I'm an independent. I have a lot of libertarian friends. I have many different views on all sorts of topics. But on my Facebook page, Tina Cook for President 2012 on Facebook, I'm connected to all kinds of people who have all sorts of different issues and things. So people could go there and read a little bit more about me and see who I'm connected to. I try to do a lot of networking with other like-minded individuals that want to make the change, but they're not being bankrolled by J.P. Morgan or whoever, you know, the big banks. So networking, 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 and
thanks,
public
Tina.
Radio.
Let's go ahead and do it this way. James, there you advocate for a mechanism of voting, but to get that mechanism changed, you have to be in positions of power or go through the voting process by initiative. What mechanism are you going to be able to use in this election cycle in order to be an option for the American people?
Well, I'm trying to build this team. I've filed for president of the U.S. with the Federal Elections Commission, and I've also notified the National Libertarian Party that I want to access the ballot with their party. I really like the Libertarian Party. I agree with their philosophy, non-initiation of force, and to give more liberty to the people. And they already use a ranked choice voting system when they nominate their presidential candidate, which will be next May in Las Vegas. So I'm hoping to go there. But I want to help improve their system. Instead of just electing a single winner for president, to elect a team of 1,000, so to where we get as many names as possible, up to 1,000, and everybody ranks all the names, and the results would be 1,000 consecutively ranked names with plenty of consecutively ranked backups. So I want to work with everyone who's interested in using a voting system to where all the people get represented in all parties and independents, and people like Jim Burns and Tina Cook, and we like to try to encourage them to access the ballot with the Libertarian Party. But also, I'm planning to work with the Constitution Party and the Green Party. The Green Party is another large third party which has ballot access in multiple states. So I'm trying to work with their presidential candidates and finding out which people want to work together under a voting system.
All right, thanks, James. Jim Burns, let's go ahead and start with, should you get the attention of the party that you've chosen to affiliate with and use their ballot access to get access to the voters to be put? Now, this is a party function. They have ballot access, and oftentimes with 50 or near 50 of the states. And then now that you have that option, you go to the convention, you make your pitch for the conventioners to select you as the nominee. And I'm going, all right, what do you offer the libertarian-minded individual, the Libertarian Party, the libertarian trend in politics toward the American people, that you would differentiate yourself from the other candidates that are already in the race in the other parties? You would say, I am the correct selection because why?
Well, I think that we need to change direction. The Libertarian Party does. And the first thing we need to do is to decide what it is we need to win. And what we need to win is simple. We need to win the presidency of the United States and 34 United States senators. Because once we do that, the president would have the power to implement libertarian principles. The way the United States government is set up, the president is the chief executive officer, and he enforces all laws. The president takes an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. If you follow the Constitution of the United States, it's about 95% libertarian. The problem is that the Democrats and Republicans and the politicians of the past haven't enforced the Constitution of the United States. Some pay lip service to it, but they don't actually do it. For example, there is no authority in the Constitution of the United States to have a Department of Energy, Department of Education. So that should be eliminated. There is no authority in the United States Constitution for a personal income tax. The 16th Amendment allows for an income tax, but it does not allow for a personal income tax. So things like this, the Libertarian president with 34 United States senators could literally implement libertarianism. And that's what I would suggest. And as an interim step, that's where you first thing you need to do is to know where it is you're going. That's where we're going. The second step is, how do we get there? And the way we get there is to take the first step, and that's to influence the outcome of the elections. And we can do that. If you'll go to my website, jimburnsforpresident.com, there are suggestions on how to do that. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Tina, you just heard Jim give, and I'd say, a complimentary view of the Constitution, you know, honoring the mechanism by which we are supposed to govern ourselves. Are you supportive of that? Would you have a more radical change? Or is there something else that you offer other than the libertarian rhetoric of less is more? I mean, what would be your offering?
Well, I think we need to get back to our Constitution. Our founding fathers are probably turning over in their graves right now, considering what the bankers and the lawyers and the millionaires who are in Congress, what they're doing to our founding documents. It's like they just shredded up the Constitution and thrown it in the trash. You know, it also says somewhere in our founding documents, I'm not sure which one, but it also says that lawyers cannot hold office. On that note, I think we should, everybody get out your Constitution. Let's go up to Washington, D.C., and let's clean all of these jokers out of there. I really think America, I don't know what's going on. It just seems to me nowadays I meet people, they don't even know why the Occupy people are out in the street. They have no idea. They don't know what's on the news because they watch whatever it is the mass media conglomerate puts on there. And so they're clueless as to why all these people are in the street. I think the occupation folks probably need to whip out their Constitution and their Bill of Rights, and they need to read it every day at 12 noon. Get out your megaphone, whether the police like it or not, and use your right to free speech and recite the Constitution. I think Americans need to hear it. I think, you know, I just know growing up in the educational system I grew up in the 80s and early 90s, they didn't teach us much of this stuff. I was probably 30 years old and met some old guy, and he started talking to me about the Constitution. I had no idea what was in there, plus the fact that, you know, our people up in D.C., our good old elected officials that we think we are electing, they have just trashed the thing. They've thrown it out. It's not even part of their process.
James, you know? Let's go ahead and go to James Ogle.
It's time for a change.
Well, you know, there's, I think the people thought they voted for that last time. How'd that work out for them? So I'm, you know, when you talk about change, let's go ahead and go to James. I know you're advocating for a change in the mechanism of government and the method by which the desires of the people are expressed, but you have this system to contend with right now. In fact, you would have to use this system to change it to your system, or you'd have to have an actual revolution and abandon this system. So I'm looking to you for an answer of, is this campaign of yours to give voice to what your preference is? Are you trying to change other candidates to advocate for it? Are you willing to use the system as it is now, because you're going to have to?
I mean, what it is, it's like a miniature political party, U.S. Parliament. And the goal of a political party is to take over the government. So what I've done is I've created a miniature political party. It's a about maybe 1/100th the size of the Libertarian Party, but where all the members may self-categorize with any party or independent, and they have a tool to work together. And so what happens is you get cool people who like to work together under an advanced voting system, the advanced St. Leg Parliament seat distribution system, which is extremely mathematically exact on the results. And so I've been able to find a lot of really cool people who work under this voting system to elect sort of a board of directors. And so, by the way, corporations are a lot like a government. You know, you have board of directors, you have shareholders, you have voting. And to me, the problem is that we're using the primitive plurality voting, which is where you use the check the box, click the dot, raise the hand, nod the head. You add up the votes, and the one with the most votes wins. But what I'm talking about is a system that's maybe 100 times more advanced. But instead of a single click or a single check, you get to rank multiple alternatives, beginning with the number one with consecutive numbers. And that creates more of an algebraic system.
So has the running for president, I understand, and the more information I'm sure can be gotten at usparliament.org, but is that the purpose of your campaign, is to advocate for this type of change?
Not only is my campaign committee set up under that system, but I'm trying to promote it to help, improve corporations, shareholders, participants who vote, and foreign governments as well. Like, for example, the Israeli system, they use the Gihant system, which the satisfaction level is only 50%, minus 60 votes guaranteed. But if they were to switch to the St. Leg Parliament system, they would have a satisfaction level of 99.12% plus 120 votes. So the threshold for being elected under the latter system is 0.826%. You get a lot more independents elected in the Israeli elections, peace activists or whatever. And so most countries could adopt a more advanced system to get the people better represented.
And okay, well, let's go ahead and go to
me, that's the core of the problem.
Well, let's go to Jim Burns. Jim, you've heard the other candidates. They're talking about, there needs to be a change. James is advocating for a dramatic change in the system. So my question to you is, can the current system be maintained? Is it going to fall of its own weight? Is it something you want the wheelhouse of the Titanic now, thinking you're going to save it? Is it doomed? Why are you running?
Well, the reason I'm running is to promote the ideas of libertarianism. That's the basic fundamental principle of voluntary exchange, the idea that people should be allowed to live as they choose so long as they don't violate the rights of others. That's the reason I'm running, and that's what I wish to promote. Now, the system that is used to promote those ideas is not the most important thing. The most important thing is that people be allowed to live as they choose so long as they don't violate the rights of others. However, I would say that the American system is among the best that has ever existed. Now, is it true that we have difficulties and they're destroying the American system? I would say yes, they are. For example, I believe that the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, is among the most dangerous organizations on the planet. What they do is they try to make rules so that, they do make rules so that it promotes the incumbents, so that it makes it difficult for challengers to enter the race, and the FEC should be abolished. I believe that all the alphabet nonsense of the federal government ought to be abolished. John Stossel called what is currently known as capitalism, he called it crapitalism. And I think that's what we currently have. We have crony capitalism. We don't have free markets, and we don't have free exchange. Obama and his friends and the Republicans as well, what they do is they grant special privileges to their friends at the expense of their enemies. What they want to do is reward their friends and punish their enemies, and I consider that to be criminal. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Now, let's go ahead and go along that line with Tina. I'm looking for, a reason why people should pay attention to your campaign. This is this whole mechanism that we go through, not as unfair as it is, as inefficient as it is for representing the preferences of 300 plus million people, I still want to give voice to those that have not had it so that we can determine who should have a voice, who should be examined more closely, who should have an opportunity to represent our views if we can't represent them ourselves. So I'm looking to open up the debate to anyone that can add to it. What do you add to it, Tina? We're looking for, you know, your website should be researched and your musings should be examined because you bring what?
Well, I'm different. I'm not sold out. I'm a poor person. I live in Western North Carolina. There's no jobs here, and the ones that are here just barely pay minimum wage. I've watched NAFTA come through here and shut down just about every factory in this area. My dad was a textile worker, and my mother was a nurse. I'm looking at my mom. She's, like, in her early 60s and unhealthy. She doesn't have insurance or any kind of, you know, she took care of people that were dying, and now she's old and dying, and there's nothing there for her. My dad retired from a company that they played and gambled with his 401k after 45 years of working there. He has retired and gets, I think, a check for $80 a month. I'm different. I'm not sold out. Nobody owns me. I don't have any money. I feel like I'm the average citizen, and I'm kind of clued in. It's taken me many, many years to learn what's really going on behind the scenes, and I've learned a lot of different things from all kinds of people, Republicans, libertarians, independents. I have a lot of different friends and influences that everybody comes to the table with something totally different. So I'm not just one little person who's Democrat or Republican. I'm made up of many different things. So I think people should check me out on Facebook and hear what I'm talking about. I'm the common person. I'm the common blue-collar working person in America that has had their job shipped to China, for one. I actually had a job. I was working in a press room back in, like, 95, and the people that owned that press room in Greensboro, North Carolina, offered to send me to Hong Kong. I'm not Chinese. My family's right here. Why can't my job stay right here? But I wasn't the only person in that non-union facility to lose their job. They picked up a bunch of our presses and put them on ships and took them to China.
Well, there's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons why, you know, that happens.
I answered it right, but.
Well, no, I mean, you gave your perspective. Let's go ahead and go to James Ogle and ask, you know, we have Tina representative of a lot of people that have experienced the same thing. How did that happen? You know, what broke down in this country? What's the solution? Do you think, you know, changing the way the vote system does is going to cure that?
It's a very easy question. To me, the answer is, well, primarily we need more women in government. We've never had a president of the U.S. or a vice president who was female. We've never had a governor or lieutenant governor of California or West Virginia and probably a lot of other states who were female. And the problem is single winner districts where only one person gets elected. If we elected under this voting system I'm talking about, you could elect one male and one female, or vice versa, for president, vice president, governor, lieutenant governor, chairman, vice chairman, any two-member district if you use this ranked vote system. So, for example, the Libertarian Party, to my knowledge, they've never had a woman candidate for president. So what I'm bringing is, I'm running for president, but I'm promoting a woman for president, and I'm willing to stand down and be vice president, you know, whatever way the chips fall. But I think we should have a
gender balance, you know, the top female candidate and the top male candidate working together as president or vice versa. And so that's what I'm bringing to the table is I want to bring more women candidates to the Libertarian Party and try to get their organization to work with or to consider more good female candidates from among their ranks and to
let's go ahead and get the top one.
I want
to go ahead and we'll do some closing statements. We'll start with you, James. I want to, you know, give you an opportunity to, you know, go ahead along these lines that you're talking about a fundamental change in the way voting is done. You're using the run for president as an advocacy for that. You're doing a you're hoping that it's going to change the lives of individuals in a positive way. How would that happen? And go ahead and make that part of your closing statement. This is obviously important to you to run for president of the United States and work with other people and you know and help facilitate these types of debates and so on, so that you have a platform to talk about this. So it's not surprising that you would focus on this type. I'm wondering how that's going to change my life. How is that going to increase freedom for me? How is it going to affect the future for my children and grandchildren? So go ahead and make that part of your closing statement.
Well,
I'll give you a couple
of
minutes.
Thank you, Ernest. First of all, if the Libertarian Party were to adopt this system, it would unite the Libertarian Party to where their chairman and vice chairman and their president and vice president candidates are one, the same person, rather than going into an election with division. And so under this voting system, I'll be promoting the ballot. We'll be electing a 1,000-member team. Number one is the president or chairman. Number two is the vice president or vice chairman. But we also have 3 through 1,000. And so 3 through 1,000 will have 998 votes. So it diminishes the power of the president and the vice president. It creates more of a team, which makes decisions on a ruling coalition sort of a system. It's not a quorum that's required, but the biggest block on the team can implement decisions. And so that's basically what I'm trying to do, is to help the Libertarian Party succeed, which will bring, you know, it'll benefit, you know, the Libertarian Party has a great philosophy of a non-initiation force, and more people need to know about that. And so by helping them succeed, we'll be able to enlighten more people in the United States about that philosophy, about applying it to all kinds of things, like what Jim Burns was talking about, the economics, the Constitution, and also basically to create a team that can work together towards changing the government instead of just electing one person for president who picks a vice president. What I envision is more electing a team where everyone is an equal on the team. All the listeners, you, Ernest, Jim Burns, Tita Cook, and we're all 1,000 equals with an equal vote, to where as a team we can have a lot more success than as opposed to just one person running for president. So,
Thanks, James.
Would have this stack of ballots that was cast to sort of show people as proof that is who the team members would be, the ones that were elected with these ballots.
Thanks, James. We get more information at usparliament.org. Let's go ahead and go to Tina. We'll go in reverse order here. Tina, you know, there is, you know, this country's in a big heap trouble, and we have James advocating for a change in the system. I'm not sure how that would come about, but, you know, the first step is advocating for it. And you're looking for a change also. Is the change just paying attention to you or what you have to say? And what is it you would say?
Well, let's see. One, I do like James's usparliament.org. People should check out that website and read that. I think it would be great to implement that system. I think it would run better than our current system in Washington, D.C., where you know, these elected officials, they're just a bunch of clowns. They are owned and operated by banksters and large corporations. People in America need to wake up and look around and see the division that is taking place in our country right now. Everyone is in the 99%, whether you have a job or you don't have a job. And the mass media is telling the folks that do have jobs, that sit there and listen to faux news all night, they're telling them, oh, well, you've worked hard and you've got a job. Well, oh, these guys out here in the street, they're just a bunch of lazy bums. They're not trying to get a job. That's not true. People don't need to be fooled by what's in the newspaper, the magazines, on your TV set. Turn off your TV. Go meet your neighbors and unite with your neighbors. They're not as different as you think. I have friends that are Republicans. I have friends that are Libertarians. I have black friends and white friends, old friends and young friends, gay friends and straight friends. I know people that are working. I know people that are unemployed. I know people that are homeless that were working. They've lost their homes. They've lost their jobs. They've lost everything. And that is because we are dividing the country up into the haves and the have-nots. If you're in the Tea Party and you used to work in a factory or you do work in a factory, well, you're part of the 99% too. Don't let these people fool you into thinking that you're different than I am. And I don't know. I think that's all I have to say. People can check me out on Facebook. I don't know if I answered your question the way you wanted me to or not.
You can answer any way you want. Tina Cook for President 2012.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
That was my pleasure. Tina Cook for President 2012 on Facebook. Now, Jim Burns, here we have, you're running a more traditional campaign. You're seeking the Libertarian nomination. You'll go through the process. You'll go to the convention. People have an opportunity to vote for you. If you become the nominee at the convention, you'll wind up on the ballots of, if not every, almost all of the states, and people will have the opportunity to actually vote for you. So I'm going, okay. So in this format that you've associated yourself with the others here we've discussed, I need to know, you know, how is it that you have been associated and affiliated with the USParliament.org method? How would that apply in your run for president as a libertarian?
I sort of believe in George Washington's doctrine of they should have friendly relations with all, but entangling alliances with others. I don't advocate the parliamentary system, but I'm friendly to it. I wish to say thank you, Mr. Hancock. I really appreciate it. I'm a old man now. If I'd have known I was going to be this old, I'd have taken better care of myself when I was younger. When I was young, my father required that I attend Sunday school and church. I learned of John 8:32. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. George Washington spoke the truth when he said, government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force. Government is force when it is communist, fascist, socialist, monarchist, Sharia, social democrat, democratic, or even when it is a constitutional republic. Government is force at all levels, federal, state, county, city, or any other level. Now, I ask you to consider, Mr. Hancock, is force the first tool we use when dealing with people? Does force usually bring the results we wish to achieve? Was the danger of force the reason Thomas Jefferson said, that government that governs least governs best? Or let us contemplate force in the words of Thomas Paine. Government, even in its best state, is but a necessary evil. In its worst state, an intolerable one. I'm running for President of the United States because I believe libertarianism can improve the human condition. To the extent that libertarianism is adopted, we will see peace, prosperity, and progress for us all. The Libertarian Party offers a peaceful vehicle to oppose oppression and implement liberty. I am seeking the nomination of the Libertarian Party for the office of President of the United States because I believe that I can offer ideas that can hasten a libertarian outcome. You can look me up at jimburnsforpresident.com. And, Mr. Hancock, I wish to thank you very much for your time and patience. Thank you.
Well, it's been a pleasure dealing with you guys today, you know, having an opportunity to get a very wide perspective. There's different motivations why people run for office, seek the nomination. There are even many methods by which to do it, certainly as we get into the technology of the future. So I'm glad that we had the opportunity to spend some time together as time goes on and your campaigns evolve and we get closer to the process. Certainly for the Libertarian Party, we may be speaking to you guys more in the future. Thanks for coming on this special edition of Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We had a question in the beginning, and it was this. There are some people that are seeking the office of President of the United States using various different means, and for some reason, they are known or unknown. And now you know why, or you're asking the question, why aren't they in the media? Well, hopefully that question got answered. Here on Declare Your Independence, we'll talk to you soon.